This is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Good morning, sports fans. It's a pleasure to have you here for the big Wednesday show as we start again here on Locks of the Week Radio. My name's Dave Medina, and today I'm joined by our friend Andrew Jacobson. He joins us here. How's it going, Andrew?
Good. How are you, Dave?
Well, he is the football guru, and this is his favorite time of the year, the football season. So we have a lot of football to get into coming up here on the show. On our show today, what to make of the NCAA Top 10 in the BCS, and another edition of the NFL Undefeated. So that's all coming up for you here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. But we're starting off today with some semi-post-mortem on the LCSs, the League Championship Series in the National and American Leagues. Two series that really had a lot of potential but have suddenly gotten very, very out of hand very quickly. You know about what happened in the National League last night or two nights ago. I've opined on this on the previous podcast. We know about what happened in the American League series two nights ago. You know, these series are over. It's a real shame, isn't it, Andrew?
Well, I think so to a certain degree. I mean, it gets to the point to one thing that you want to see in the baseball playoffs are good competitive series. You know, not to say that all these games, you know, certainly some of the Angels and Yankees games, and then even to a degree the Dodgers and Phillies game the other night, you know, very competitive games themselves. But as a whole, you want the series to be competitive. And for that, you know, both teams have got to win games and get us to a game six or a game seven. You know, so far, you know, we look at even the division series, three of those were sweeps. The other one was won in, what, four games? You know, the series really comes, you know, when it gets to game six, gets to game seven, that's where the fun of it really amplifies, you know, up quite a bit. And it's unfortunate that it looks like we're not heading that direction with either one of these.
You know, this has been a real problem with baseball lately. I've noticed that so many series, World Series keeps getting ending in five and four games all the time. League Championship Series ending in five games, maybe six. Division Series, almost always a sweep. This is a real problem in baseball nowadays. They cannot field a competitive postseason. I mean, what's the deal?
Well, I think in some degree it's just a matter of luck, you know, and unfortunate circumstances. You know, I think when you look at the game the other night, the Dodgers and the Phillies, that game really should have, could have been won by the Dodgers, you know. And then you got a 2-2, and then you got a series. I mean, then you got it. Then you know you're guaranteed six games. You're probably going to a seventh game. You know, I don't see, you know, maybe one of those teams, you know, in the pressure situation, maybe winning two in a row. You're probably seeing a seventh game then. But instead, Broxton blows it, and now it's 3-1, and good likelihood that maybe the Phillies are going to end it today. So,
why? Why did he have to throw those terrible pitches to Matt Stitt?
Because he sucks on the road.
Why does he have to be such a baby and throw a groove of fastball to Jimmy Rollins?
Did you talk about this yesterday?
Why?
On the podcast? Did you talk about this yesterday on the podcast?
I was crying yesterday. I didn't really have much else to say.
You did a podcast on the game last night?
I did. So that's all I have.
Oh, I should have listened to that.
More importantly, it's an interesting situation. I thought about this afternoon. What if the Dodgers won tonight and they pushed it to game six? And then what if somehow they got a break and they were at home and they blew out the Phillies to Kingdom Come in game six? What if? And then they went to game seven. And then what if they won, somehow, some way, kept it close but with Cliff Lee and went to the bullpens in game seven? And what if it was a battle of the bullies and the Dodgers got a win somehow in that series? And then what if that extended to a World Series and they played the Yankees?
What if
they took a game there, and then what if they took what if there was a parade in downtown LA? I'm just thinking.
I will buy you five McChicken sandwiches.
Seems like a cheap offer.
If the Dodgers beat the Phillies.
You're going to have to do more than that. Come on. I've done worse.
Absolutely not.
You're going to have to do better than that.
Absolutely not.
Give me at least 10.
No.
If you're so confident it's going to happen, you got to give me at least 10.
No, I don't. 5. Yeah, I'm doing 5 because you did the Colts thing with me, and you did 5 for that. So I'm doing you 5 on this one.
And it is a 5.
This is your 5 for 5 deal right here. Now, you don't have to get me anything. I'm just saying.
No, you're right. No, that's right. That's where I was getting to that. I was getting to that.
Right. I'm saying I'll just get you if it happens, because I don't think it's going to happen. I can the Dodgers win tonight? Sure. Can the Dodgers maybe win a game 6? Maybe, sure. But I don't see them winning 3 in a row against what really is a better Phillies team. This is a better, tougher Phillies team than the
Dodgers.
They
have one starter.
Yeah. And how many do the Dodgers have?
They have many starters.
What's the starters' ERA in this series? Dodgers versus Phillies.
We can't get into that.
We can't get into that because it doesn't support my argument.
To be honest with you, I think their ERA is fine if you take out Game 3. Because Wolf was as bad as he was. He did give up only 4 runs. And you do remember...
Kershaw gave up
5.
Right.
Excuse me. But Wolf was doing fine. He had a very good start last night.
Wolf pitched well, and it was crazy that he didn't pitch earlier in the series. That was really kind of surprising. I'm still surprised that they didn't pitch him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a game one starter for you in the division series, and all of a sudden you come to the LCS, and he doesn't pitch till game 4.
It was very unusual, but it's a little too late to get into that now. But here's the thing. The Dodgers may not have the greatest starter in the world, but they have more than one. The Phillies have literally one starter. Everybody else is a crapshoot. It's like you're rolling the dice every time you throw the starters in there. Bullpen, woo, woo.
Yeah, the Phillies.
You have to throw them in it.
The Phillies certainly don't have as deep a rotation as the Dodgers do. But the deepness of your rotation doesn't mean a ton in the playoffs. You know, we're seeing the Yankees right now winning their series against the Angels, and they're doing it with a 3-man rotation.
But
you know?
But to be fair, the 3 that they are using are very good starters. Burnett's good, Sabathia is good, and Pettit is good. And I don't think that's so bad.
Right.
I think that was a good gamble by Girardi.
Right.
So let's just close out with a little ALCS thoughts. So again, tonight, Dodgers, Phillies, chance for the Phillies to close the whole thing out, win the whole NLCS.
Go Phillies!
Get to the World Series and hopefully fail to either the Angels or the Yankees, but we'll see. ALCS. Yanks. Now, the game's not over as we record the program, but they are leading 5-1 in the 7th inning. Now, it would
take... You watch. We're going to do this whole thing, go off and project the Angels winning this game, and the Rally Monkey's going to show up at some point. At some point late in the podcast, we're going to have to switch our thoughts here.
This game is over. If they do win, then I'll do the same thing you did, but I will offer you 10 McChickens.
We're getting the Medina, Angels win this game. Medina... Little jinx here.
10 McChickens.
Dave Jinx.
Dude, well, look at CC Sabathia right now. He is dealing.
Yeah.
He had a couple of tough spots, but he is dealing.
It's in the 7th inning. They're 2 outs. Yeah, there's 2 more innings after this. They're down by 4 runs.
2 innings. They're not going to make up 4 runs in 2 innings. See, Fox gave up. They put a black. They blacked out the screen. Now the screen's back. Okay. But it's basically 2 innings. There's 2 outs already in the 7th inning. There's no way. There is no way that's going to happen.
So, can either of the LA teams come back in either one of these series? And which one would have the better odds or better chance to do it?
Well, this is an easy question. I think both teams can come back pretty equally because the Angels have been playing the Yankees pretty tough. CC Sabathia is just that special of a starter. Think about this. All the games have been tight except one going into game 4, and that was game 1. Well, who started game 1? Sabathia. So Sabathia's starts seem to be fairly commanding. Everybody else, who knows? I think it's even, actually, to be honest with you.
I actually don't think it's even. I actually would give the edge to the Dodgers.
No, I mean, and I think if you had to give an edge, the Dodgers would be the one with the edge.
The Dodgers are going
to
be coming home after they play their next game.
Right.
Like you said, the Phillies starters are not. You know, they're a crapshoot. I mean, Pedro was great, you know, in his first, but who knows if you're going to do that? Cole Hamels, you know?
Yep.
What are you going to get from him? You don't know. So, and then it comes down to, you know, if they win, they get a little bit of momentum, they're back in L.A., they win in L.A., and all of a sudden you're in a Game 7 situation. So, I think it would be the Dodgers just for the pure fact that They've got one more on the road, and then they'd have the last two in Philly. Whereas the Angels, one more at home, then they have to go to New York and then try to win two in a row, and that's going to be really difficult.
It's difficult, but I don't think it would scare them too much, though. But you're right. I think the odds are certainly in the Dodgers' favor as far as this particular comparison is concerned.
Now, do I think either one will happen? No.
No, and a lot of people would agree with you on that, and I agree with that, too. But here's the thing. What's really interesting about both of these series is that, you know, I was just going to get into how the pitching rotation was this and that, and the lineup was this and that, and now I've completely forgot what I was going to say. So we'll move on to something else.
Tough to host and collect your thoughts and do everything, right?
It's like when you're in the mood.
Especially when you're doing your show and the TV's on.
It's hard to think about what I was going to
say. Your netbook's open. And
I was just thinking about that, you know? And there's a Wendy's hamburger on my computer screen. Well, now I'm done. I mean, I can't think straight anymore. One little last note, though, about the League Championship Series. My dad and I were driving home with my family from Palmdale. We were driving over to Oxnard, where my dad lives. And we're trying to pick up the Angels game. You know, years ago, the Angels would be on 710. You know, you could hear it from everywhere. You could hear it from Santa Barbara even during the day. You could hear it from here. You could hear it from Orange County, anywhere inland. It was great. Now they're on this really rinky-dink station that they apparently own, AM 830. We could not hear that game clearly the entire way. Like, it would come in and out. It would be all crackly. And, see, you want to know why you're number two in your own market? It's because of this. Stuff like this. Yeah, you own your radio station, but you can't hear it. So what? How are people going to get to follow your games when they're on the road?
What is AM 830? What is that when the Angels aren't playing?
It's like a sports station. It's like a,
really?
It's a really lame attempt at a sports station.
You should be on there then, Dave. That sounds perfect for you.
Well, is it something that nobody can hear?
That's right.
Just like here.
That sounds like a perfect place for this podcast.
Bet you my podcast would get ratings if we actually played it.
I think they have a open time slot, the morning rush hour. You could do live remotes from the bus on the way to work.
So anyway, my point about all that, you know, is that
the San Diego Padres laugh at the power of the Angels radio
that's
station.
That's true. That is true because, you know, we talk all the time about the Padres' lame cable access channel
that covers their games on television.
Yeah. But I have to say, the radio signal is a beast. You can hear that thing nearly to San Luis Obispo.
Wow.
That is a huge signal. You should listen to it sometime. 1090. It's like,
what a waste of radio stations.
It really is, but it's crazy. They've always had a good signal. They used to be on KOGO, like 600 or something.
AM 830. Well, I'm gonna check that out for you, Dave. See if you can get the podcast on.
I would appreciate that. Send my resume.
Absolutely. Just send them some tapes.
Send him a tape. Just send him a link.
Here's not this link. One. This one hasn't been good so far.
Oh, so we'll don't get mad. All right.
Send him this one.
Well, this is Dave in the City Unlocks of the Week Radio. I'm Dave Medina. This is Andrew Jacobson. And we are talking now about sports. And we will switch. We are switching now from the baseball scene to the football one.
Yay.
We have a lot to get into here. See, but you see, you are like the NFL Network. Football 24/7.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get anything else. Maybe baseball for like a month.
I'm watching baseball. I just talked about baseball for just a
few minutes. No, you're right. You get into it.
What are you talking about? I had a baseball thing. Didn't I watch the game last night?
Yeah, because the Dodgers could have lost, of course. You had the morbid curiosity factor in
play. It was beautiful. Oh, it was gorgeous. Oh, man. One of my favorite sports moments of the year. I tell you, Dave, there are certain days during the year I look forward to. Christmas. You know, New Year's, it's pretty good. You know, my birthday. Yeah, Thanksgiving's kind of fun. And of course, the day that football season begins and the day that the Dodgers are officially eliminated from the playoffs. Always favorites of mine.
That's sad.
And luckily, I can always guarantee that day will come each year, including the Dodgers being eliminated from the playoffs. Whether it's in September when the regular season's going or some point during October, I know they're going to be eliminated.
Good thing, because when I do that for the Giants, it's usually over too early. It takes all the fun out of it. It's like, it's only July 15th.
It's not a good year if the Giants
didn't even make it interesting.
It's not a good year if the Giants are eliminated before my birthday. At least this year they held off till later.
Yeah, that's fine. One day, though, Giants, Dodgers, NLCS. It's going to happen someday.
Right. You're teasing me, though, with the football thing. What are we talking about, football?
All right, so, you know, I know people have really not gotten into college football this year. And there's a good reason for it. And the reason is a thing called parity or mediocrity or just an inability to field a competitive team. For whatever reason, you have one of the more wide-open runs to the national championship than we can remember. Now, having said that, we know there are some clear favorites. Florida, number one. Alabama, number two. Or depending on the poll you look at, it could be Alabama
could be
one or it could be Florida two. Either way, those are your top two. Texas is in the mix. They're number three. USC, four. Cincinnati, five. You know, that's pretty much the way it is across most
blah,
of the
blah,
polls.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's not interesting me. What interests me is the bottom five of the top ten. Boise State, Iowa, Miami of Florida, LSU, and TCU. And before everyone starts complaining about Oregon in the poll, they're number 11. So it's okay. Oregon's hanging in there in a little bit. So, you know, we talked about it this afternoon off air. We were saying who has the best chance of the bottom five of teams to make a run to the BCS championship game. And I gave some answers. Now, my answer is actually Miami of Florida, but it has nothing to do with the quality of the team. It just has to do with the fact that they have the simplest schedule going forward, and the other teams have these huge matchups that they got to play, which could end up in a disaster for them. Iowa seemed like the obvious choice because they're in the Big Ten and they play nobodies, but even Iowa's probably going to lose to somebody down the line. That's the thing. Now, if I remember correctly, now did Iowa play Penn State this year already?
Yeah, Iowa beat Penn
State. And they beat Penn
State.
Yeah.
That was a Saturday night game.
So that's like the toughest win right there. They could play Ohio State.
They do play Ohio State at Ohio.
And Ohio State's a big mess right now. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that team? That could go either way. But Iowa's not going to make a run to the championship unless they stay undefeated, which they won't. I don't think they will. So then there's LSU. We can throw them out immediately. TCU, forget it. So that's how I see it. I think Miami of Florida, if one team from the bottom five have had to make it all the way to the BCS championship, I think Miami would be that team. What about you?
Well, I think the team with the best chance, if it ends the season with one loss, to be there would be USC.
I did say bottom five, but that's the USC's in the top five.
Yeah, but I don't listen to you when you talk about stuff.
But who would make it out of the 6 through 10 slot? Like, if you had to choose one.
Well, it looks like it depends on what poll you're looking at. I mean, the bowl championship series, USC's not in the top five, and that's the one
that counts.
Counts in terms of who's going to be there at the end. So if you look, USC qualifies. Now, see, look at your little notebook here, Dave. You just got to look at it. So I stick with my USC answer. Well, listen, I think Miami could very well finish with one loss. Now, are they really that good a team? I don't think so. Congratulations, you made it through the season with one loss. Bad news is you play in the ACC, which is a horrible freaking conference. And Miami had some very good wins earlier this year. I think they're a good team. But, you know, are they a team that's, you know, national championship caliber? I don't know. And coming from that conference, you know, unless all these other teams, Texas, USC, you know, maybe even a Boise State or an Alabama or, you know, LSU or somebody, you know, if these teams don't have more than one loss, Miami's going to be at the back end of all those teams. You know, I don't see Miami really being up there. I think Texas can lose a game and still be ahead of Miami. USC has already lost the game, and they're going to be ahead of Miami. You know, so I don't see the Miami thing happening. I do think USC could. If they run the table, if everybody else gets a loss except one team, USC would be that team in the national champion. There's no question in my mind. They still have Oregon up on the schedule. That's going to be a big game to play. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, the two teams that are really interesting right now that you look at, Boise State and Cincinnati, very good chance that both these teams or one of these teams could finish the season with no losses. And you look at Texas. Texas still has to play Oklahoma State. Alabama and Florida, we know those two will probably play in the SEC championship game. One of those teams will very likely have a loss, maybe even heading into that game. You know, we could see a Boise State or a Cincinnati team be undefeated, and this could be the year we get one of those teams from outside one of the major conferences into the national championship game. Non-traditional powers. Because I think if Cincinnati or Boise State finish undefeated, with looking at these other teams, it's going to be tough to hold them out.
I agree. I think Cincinnati and Boise State, between them, one of them has got to be in there if they finish undefeated.
Boise State has the easier route. Cincinnati still has to play Pitt.
Yep.
Which could be a tough game.
Pitt is going to be a huge trap game at the end of the year for them. I'm telling you, that could be some fun.
But you know, it's crazy. I mean, college football this year has been a little underwhelming, I've got to say. I was really looking forward to this year in college football. You had the big-time quarterbacks coming back. Tebow, Bradford, McCoy. You had, all of these things where these traditional powers really look like Florida maybe coming back, being this dominant team, and now we're seeing them kind of struggle a little bit, particularly offensively. They kind of lack some playmakers on the outside to make big plays, like a Percy Harvin, who they don't have anymore. And really now you've got Alabama, who a lot of people think is the best team in college football right now, and they weren't even in the top five when it started, I mean, all these teams have been, Texas has been a little underwhelming, even though they're still undefeated. USC's had their loss, So, I mean, it's kind of been an underwhelming kind of year for college football. Not a lot of memorable games out there or anything like that. I mean, last year was off the charts, and then the year before that was great, but this year, I was really looking forward to it. I thought it was going to be a crazy year in college football. Bradford gets hurt. Oklahoma really falls down. It's been a little disappointing, I got to say, at this point of the season. I mean, I look at the games this weekend. There's almost not a college game on this weekend that I would really care about watching.
I think that's a little unfair to say because – no, just the last part. Most of that is true. But the last part is a little unfair to say because I think there's a couple of sleeper games that might be in the offing. USC versus Oregon State. Do not sleep on the Oregon State team, I'm telling you. Do not sleep on these guys. I'm very serious about that. Because Oregon State has given USC fits. Now, I do know that it's going to be played at the Coliseum. I honestly think that could be an interesting game. Hawaii at Boise State, if it's on TV anywhere, I am watching that game. And I have the sports pack. It's got to be on TV somewhere. I got 900 channels on here. I can probably catch them somewhere.
It'll be on at 11 o'clock at night, Dave.
Doesn't matter. I'm in.
TCU and BYU is the only game this weekend really between ranked teams, and it's number 10 versus number 16.
That's not going to be that great a game, though. It could be a competitive game, but will it be a good game?
I don't even know what channel that's going to be on. It's probably
Alabama might have an interesting go. Texas and Missouri could be a potential upset. There's a lot of games on here that could be really something to watch. Florida and Mississippi State, that's a laugher, so let's put that out of the way. I think that's pretty much the scene right now. We'll have to see.
Well, Alabama plays Tennessee, which is kind of interesting. But, I mean, ultimately, I don't know. I looked at the schedule this weekend in college football, and I was like, not a bad day to hang out with the girlfriend.
So. All right. Well, I think, again, as you say, a lot of things have been undecided. I am almost sure that a lot of these teams are going to lose a game. USC guaranteed to lose a game. Florida will lose a game.
You think USC is going to lose to Oregon?
They are either going to lose to Oregon or they're going to lose to Oregon State this week.
Wow.
I am dead serious. I mean, they are not escaping that gauntlet without a loss. Guaranteed. You don't go to the Oregon and win. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way. Oregon's too good right now, they are. Even without that guy that punched a guy in the face.
Blunt or whatever that guy
is. Yeah. He's very blunt. And he punched a guy in the face. And without that guy, they're still very, very good. I mean, this is an Oregon team, plays very well at home in front of that great crowd. They're going to dominate that game 2 weeks from now. We'll see.
Should be an interesting one. Probably will determine the Pac-10.
Yeah, very likely.
Because I don't think USC is losing this week. At Oregon State, maybe they lose. I don't think they're losing this week, particularly since Oregon State beat them last year.
No, but you see, here's the thing. Oregon State's a very tough team. They gave Cincinnati a tough time. They gave Fresno State a tough time. They gave Boise State a tough time, I think. Did they play? I don't remember. But they are a good team. They rolled up Cal. They rolled up Stanford. They are a tough. Or did Stanford beat them? But one of and the Yankees just extended the lead. It's now 7-1 as we record this. Johnny Damon 2-run homer, and that's the series. Good night, Angels.
I feel like I'm on the Dan Patrick Show where they do the little home run updates.
Oh yeah. Ding. Ding. All right, enough. So
I'm just glad he hit that home run, so I had to stop hearing you make crap up about Oregon State, who they played this year. Dave was almost sitting here, Oregon State's so tough. They beat Florida. They beat Alabama earlier this year. I'm telling you, this is a good team. He's like, did they play Boise State? I don't know.
I want to see you. We need to see. Okay, while we figure that out, I am going to – let's go switch gears to the NFL for a minute. I figured out what I was going to say about the LCS earlier. It would be a tremendous moral victory for the Dodgers if they won tonight just because they forced the Phillies to have to travel 3,000 miles to go to L.A., get a hotel, stay in their bed.
Get a hotel.
And then play another game in front of an unfriendly crowd and have to go into all that and spend an extra 2 days and take away all their off days while the Yankees are just sitting there relaxing with their pina coladas. That's a tremendous moral victory for the Dodgers. So think about that, Dodgers, as you start playing that game. Just think about that. If you can force them into all that shit, wow, that will be a great moral victory for L.A.
Did you just say shit on your own show?
Well, shit, yeah.
So here's who, as you were going on that little hotel rant.
They did Oregon give Cincinnati State a tough time. See, I told you about that.
Yeah, but it was at
and
home.
And they did give Stanford a tough time. They beat Stanford. See, I was right about Stanford. All this. What are you talking about? I knew what I was talking about.
Well, I mean, look at this guy. They're a decent team. Are they good enough to win at USC? I don't think so. Unless, now, let me say this. This is something that works in their favor. And it's one of those things that not too many people take a look at or really account for in college football. USC had a big game last week against Notre Dame. Travel, had to go to Notre Dame, played a rough game. The way it ended, Notre Dame almost came back and tied it, you know, the whole thing. It was a crazy game. Now they come back at home. Next week, USC has Oregon after the game this weekend, and that's at Oregon. So this is one of those kind of trap game, kind of like squish between two big game kind of deals, and it's one of those things that, you know, maybe USC kind of still thinking about the Notre Dame game as they're going through the week, and maybe kind of thinking about Oregon a little bit. It's Dave's breaking equipment here in the studio. And maybe you don't catch USC on its best night. You know, maybe they're not full gear for it. But, you know, hey, Oregon State, can they maybe give them a little bit of a scare? Sure, I'll buy that. Do they win? I'm not buying that, but, yeah.
I'm just saying it wouldn't be surprising, I think, if Oregon State gives USC a tough time. I mean, you bet the house that USC does not cover the spread. And you know what's really amazing? SC against Pac-10 teams at home,
generally not, yeah.
Never cover the spread.
Yeah, they're a little underwhelming the last few years in that regard.
Almost never. And what's really remarkable about it is that the betting odds makers continue to give them these big point spreads. I don't understand it.
Well, it's the thing where, like I said,
probably just not paying attention.
Well, like I said, I mean, people love USC. People do. I mean, people love USC football. You know that. Aren't, you know, nationwide, it's really the only team out west that people pay any attention to whatsoever, you know, and people love them, and they get a little overrated at times, and, you know, I think that's where I also said that USC, if they have one loss and all the other teams have one loss at the end of the year, I think they're going to be in good shape for a national championship game, just because I do think that people have this such a high regard and sometimes a little too inflated, opinion of them.
I am so sorry. I am sorry, but USC is a 15th ranked team right now. They are not.
Well, they're not.
They are not the fourth best team in the country. I am sorry.
They're not 15th.
I am a USC fan and have been for a decade. And this team is not anywhere close to even last year's team. They're not close to the 2016 with John David Booty. They're nowhere in the stratosphere with Matt Leinart's team, and they're not even in the ionosphere with the Carson Palmer team. Come on, people, get over it. I mean, you are not the fourth best team in the country, USC. So, you know, they're going to lose, and then they will finally drop to the ranking where they should be, 15. But I'm kind of alone in that. Because everybody just jumps on board, like it's like a slowly growing snowball. Because I keep saying everybody, it's a rebuilding year, and then they just keep building and 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 building. And the snowball gets bigger and bigger until they collapse and fall apart. But that's okay. I mean, it's kind of fun, though, in a way, watching USC do this and gain all that momentum only to break it down against some inferior team, which could be Oregon State, which could be Stanford, which could be UCLA. We just don't know. It's really interesting, though. All right, so... Well, this year it was Washington. Anyway, let's talk a little bit of NFL. Jacob Results will be joining us shortly here to join and break down the NFL with us as we approach week 7. So we're about halfway through the season, aren't we not?
Week 7, yeah. I mean, geez, it's almost, we're getting towards the end of October here.
This is exciting. Through week 7, we have maybe the most undefeated teams at once this late in quite a while. We have the Colts at 5-0, Saints at 5-0. Vikings at 6-0, and the Broncos also at 6-0. Now, these are some easy questions coming up. Who's the best team of the bunch? Saints by a mile. Do you have any disagreement with that?
No, I think the win on Sunday against the Giants was really impressive. That was a game I was looking forward to watching, and then all of a sudden, by the time I got to my parents' house, Sunday morning, it was like 21-3 Saints or something. I was like, what? So... I would probably agree that the Saints are right now the best team in football, but I don't know.
Jacob, you there, Jake? All right. Jake is here. He's joining us here in the podcast. We're breaking down undefeated teams in the NFL. So Jacob Rizal's El Hebrew Hama joining us here in the city. Jake, we were just talking about how we had the best, how we have four undefeated teams, Colts, Saints, Vikings, and Broncos, all at, whatever and oh. We were saying that the Saints are the best team of the four. Don't you agree? Do you agree with that? Or would you say it's maybe the Colts or the Vikings or one of those teams?
For sure, I think New Orleans is better than Minnesota. So I'll say that they're the best in the NFC. I'm not necessarily going to say they're better than the Colts, but I mean, I shouldn't say I wouldn't necessarily think that they might not be as good as the Colts, but I would say yes, I would agree with you guys in that way.
Wait.
Denver and Minnesota, they're definitely better than, for sure. I feel like they're, like, Indianapolis isn't that far behind them.
Are you saying the Colts are better than the Saints, yes or no?
No, I'm not saying that. I just said I think that they're closer than the other two teams.
Okay, I guess that's fine. That's one way to look at it. I don't know. What do you think about the Colts this season, Andrew? I mean, we've seen them go 5-0, and when so many people have doubted them.
So many people being one, Dave. Yeah.
Who are we talking about here?
Colts.
Colts.
Oh, the Colts. I have nothing to say about the Colts either. I'll still say the same problems with the Colts. Their defense is not that good. They rely too much on a pass rush. They still don't stop the run well. They're very suspect in that way. They can turn one-dimensional and depend way too much on Peyton, and when people are able to defend that, they can't always rely on the running game. The offense, though, I mean, obviously it's phenomenal, so I'm not going to say too many terrible things about it, but their defense is going to be the problem. What's going to have them lose in the playoffs. At some point, maybe not. I mean, the AFC right now, I think, is kind of wide open, so... they may be able to run the table, but I still feel like that's going to come to bite them eventually. But then as the season goes on, you realize that everybody's got holes, so I don't know anymore.
Yeah, I think that's the key. That's the key thing. I mean, the one thing I hate that I see every week when you look online, ESPN.com, SI.com, or whatever it is, are these NFL power rankings. I hate NFL power rankings because, like I told you earlier, Dave,
stand it either. I'm with you on that. They do it in the NBA. They do it in the NHL. They do it in baseball. And I always think it's pretty stupid. Obviously, college football, you kind of have to do it because there is no ranking.
Right. That is their ranking system.
There's no playoff system, so you eventually have to do it some way. If there was a playoff system, then the rankings, I would feel just as terrible about them. But I understand why they do it in college. But in the NFL, it's so annoying to see these rankings. Like, oh, this team's better this week. And it's always, like, that week somebody loses and then the team drops. Like, well, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, they're either better or they're not, and maybe they lost to a better football team. But why do the rankings then if they're just going to drop once they win or lose or move up and down? Does that make sense? I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Right. For me, it's one of those things also, and I told Dave this earlier, was, you know what? How often is it that the best team in the NFL in October is the team that ends up winning the Super Bowl? I mean, it's great
in January,
to be like,
you mean?
Huh?
In January, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, what? Well, I mean, just by what team in at the end of October usually ends up winning this?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah. Absolutely. Right. I mean, it very rarely just the best team,
right,
to that point in the beginning of the season to where they continue to go on.
I mean last year you could look and say like the Jets. At one point towards like the early November, everybody's like, oh, look at the Jets. They're 8-3 or whatever they were. And then they just like, they didn't even make the playoffs. Everybody was crowning them midway through the season.
One of those teams. Hell, the Giants. The Giants were a team that everybody was all over. And at the end of the season, they weren't really all that great. But because all that time had carried over, like nobody really had paid attention. And they get in the NFC playoffs and they end up losing to the Eagles. You know, they really didn't. It shouldn't have lost to the Eagles when you look at where they were seeded and all that stuff, but it just doesn't make sense to me, especially in the NFL. Like, and also in the NFL, probably more so than in a lot of other sports, the best team doesn't always win the championship. You know, like they always say, there's the best team in the NFL, and then there's the champion. Do you really? I mean, maybe Pittsburgh was the best team last year, but I mean, certainly, you know, when the Giants and the Patriots played, I still think the Patriots win 7 out of 10 of those games. We just happen to see 3 out of the other ones. If that makes any sense?
Yeah, that makes plenty of sense, Jacob. I mean, I think we've gone over this several times on many different iterations. So here's the thing. So we have a bunch of undefeated teams. You know, we always get this team every year. You were talking about the Jets, right, Andrew? And the Jets were always that team that everyone was saying, oh, they're going to be this great team. We thought that the Titans would be that team. But now we have 4 undefeated teams here with the Colts, Vikings, Saints, and Broncos. Who's going to be that one team that kind of makes that run to the playoffs but has a soft cake schedule and then fizzles in the playoffs? I mean, who do you see it as Andrew?
Out of those 4 undefeated teams?
Yeah.
Well, I think if any of them is a team that you would say would probably fizzle out earlier than the other ones would be the Broncos. but, I mean...
Well, the problem with that is the Broncos are in a really terrible division.
But that's not the point. Jake, that's not
the... team that you thought could give them, you know, obviously they could have won that game last night. They're beat up on the offensive line. Their defense is completely injured. They're lucky to have Cromartie back at this point, but you know LT doesn't look the same. They finally got all the receiving targets they need, but the running game isn't there. And as long as LT is healthy, but not really the same old LT, they're not going to put in Sproles to get the job done, really. And they're just not going to compete in that division. And so Denver will probably end up winning that division and probably lose. Probably the first game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I just can't see them going deep. Minnesota, I think, has the more chance of not making the playoffs, interestingly enough. I think the Colts, they're in a division where I think they're going to handle their division. Minnesota actually has a couple teams that could make some noises if they could just get things together. Like in Chicago, they've lost a couple games that they really could have won. Granted, I still think Minnesota has a handle on that division. But I still think that they're more suspect to not make the playoffs. But I do agree with you that Denver probably won't lose the playoffs. But still make it.
Right.
I really think all 4 of these teams are probably going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's tough to be, 5-0, 6-0. I'd like to see the stats and the percentage of those teams that make the playoffs. I'm pretty sure it's pretty high, but...
The teams that you need to be more suspect of are the Cincinnati's. The Baltimore's right there. The first few weeks were like, oh, look at Baltimore, and then they lose 3 straight.
I still think Baltimore's a good team.
They're suspect. I mean, really, like they're 4-2. They're winning the division right now, but they might win that division still. But these are teams that I think are a little bit more suspect. Teams that are looking good. They're all the Niners, the Cardinals. Like, I think Atlanta's pretty solid, but those kind of teams I would be much more worried about. Because even though they look like they might have a handle on things, I think eventually they have a better chance of falling apart, especially the Bengals. And I've been riding the Bengals bandwagon from...
You've been really on that bandwagon.
Yeah, no question. So, final thought then on the undefeateds. If you had to pick between, like, I think we've already written our story about the Vikings and Broncos. Let's say, let's just say for the sake of discussion, Colts and Saints are the two better teams of that group. Now, who between them do you think you would you favor to make the greater run in the playoffs? I'm going to start with Andrew here on this one.
Between the Colts and the Saints?
Yeah.
I would actually go Saints right now and not feel too confident about that. But I would mainly because the Colts have been god awful in the playoffs the last number of years. I mean, how many first three of the last four times they've been in the playoffs, they've lost in the first round. Now, the one time they didn't, they won the Super Bowl. So congratulations, Colts. But, you know, I mean, I that's a team that I don't know. I've seen too many playoff failures from them to jump on that bandwagon. And you know, the Saints were in a few years ago. They won a playoff game. They got the NFC Championship game. And, you know, it was outdoors. It was in Chicago. It was just not a good matchup for them, even though they had Rex Grossman, you know, playing quarterback for the other team. You know, but, you know, even though Love Manning is playing great, Colts, you know, they've kind of been there before. They've won the Super Bowl. I just have no confidence in that team when it comes to the playoffs. That's why I only bet you that they'd win their division and make the playoffs, not that they would actually win a playoff game. I'm still getting those McChickens.
All right. You know what? I think the Saints are going to be that team, too, and I'm going to regret saying this because they are the most complete team. They have actually a good defense. You know, when they got Darren Sharper, is that right? Yeah, Darren Sharper.
Right.
Yeah, that guy's pretty good, and even though he's so old. I love their offense, obviously, the most complete offense in the NFL. They're the most complete team there is. I think the Saints will make the biggest run in the playoffs, plus they're playing the NFC anyway, so they have the easier opponents. I like the Saints.
Do they? I mean, do they really? Okay, tell me who...
Jake's upset about your NFC comment.
in the AFC.
Look at the Niners got involved.
Compared to the NFC.
Go ahead.
Dave, no, I'm asking you.
Oh, you're asking me.
Are we really at the point where AFC is dominating the NFC now? Like, it's not the case.
Well, I'll give you this much. I mean, the AFC West is really in a mess right now, and the North Division is pretty solid. And Andrew's right. I think that even though the Ravens are 3-3, they could be 5-1 and probably should be. I mean, because Joe Flacco led the team down twice,
and I do agree with that. But you're bringing up one team. You're telling me that the Saints and the Colts. You just said that the Colts have a tougher challenge in the AFC opponents than the NFC opponents.
Well, how are they? How do they not have a tougher challenge? They got to play the Patriots.
So much more superior in the AFC than the NFC at this point. I think this is just. I think you're just going off history, but it's really not the case this year.
I would actually agree with Jake. I look at both leagues, and the AFC has come back a little bit. I think now I don't look at the AFC. The Colts aren't what they once were. The Patriots aren't what they obviously once were. The Steelers, they won the Super Bowl last year, but they weren't like a dominating Steeler, physical, we're going to kill you kind of team. Yeah, I mean, I look at both conferences, and I think they're very even.
You got a 6-0 team. That is, their defensive coordinator is Mike Nolan, and their quarterback is Kyle Orton. Do you really? Come on. Let's be honest.
Sounds like a bad NFC team.
They won one game outside of the conference. They've gone 5-0 in the conference, and that includes, I think, they had two wins in the division. Like, my point is, like, Denver is 6-0 in the AFC, basically. 5-0 in the AFC. And they're not, I mean, I don't trust that team. Do you trust Kyle Orton? You're going to tell me you're going to take Kyle Orton in December in the playoffs?
Well, that's not really the question, Jake. You're right. I'm not. I know you're trying to prove your point with these easier competition. But you can't trust the Giants right now. Their secondary got exposed. You can't trust the Vikings right now because you're two wiffle ball plays from far away from.
You can trust the Patriots and the Jets.
I can trust them more than the NFC.
Your Steelers, the Bengals. You complain about Steelers all the time. And you know, the Chargers and you know, Jacksonville. Like, well, you're kidding me, right? You're going to tell me all those teams are so much more superior than the NFC.
Jake, we need to see the season play out first. Because a lot of these guys are kind of first time in the spotlight.
I don't need to see the season play out. I've seen enough of these teams.
All right, all right, all right.
The conferences are a lot more even now.
All right, all right. Based
on the past couple of years. That's okay. All I'm saying.
All right, be that as it may.
Well, I mean, we have a good the Vikings play the Steelers this week.
Yeah, this is going to be a good litmus test.
There you go.
There you go. That'll help a lot of
the beat Baltimore, too, and they dominated the first three quarters of that game.
They did. They did dominate.
They did. They did.
Let's be honest here. So the Vikings, I mean, as much as I am not sold on the Vikings either, because Brett Favre, he's old, and I just don't think he can last a whole 16-game season, much less playoffs. Right now, they're a very good football team, and I think, you know, Andy and I actually said that, that adding Brett Favre made them very, very good for at least the moment. It just depended on how long he could go. Now, I know they're keeping him on pitch count and all that stuff, but I don't know how long that's going to go for a 4-year-old.
All right. So again, between the Saints and the Colts, do you see the Saints having the bigger playoff run or the Colts having the bigger playoff run? You got the final word, right?
This is a tough question. October.
Because, you know, they're playing really well, but
what if Drew Brees breaks his ankle
really,
tomorrow?
Like, I feel like I'll throw up in my mouth if I actually say it. So I don't know what to say. You got to go with the Saints because they're just playing better football than anybody else right now.
Yeah.
As of right
and they
now,
play in the NFC.
I honestly don't really want to go with the Colts this year. I like the change that's gone on with their coach and all that stuff. I think Peyton's playing out of his mind. He's playing one of the best years we've ever seen. They always seem to do what they do on defense, and a lot of times they get away with it. So I wouldn't necessarily count the Colts out to make a run like that. I don't know how long they can maintain what they're doing now, but if we're sitting here in Week 17, and I really doubt it, and we're saying the Saints and the Colts, I'll follow your cold feet and take the Colts with a better chance to take it because I just don't trust the Saints. I don't trust Drew Brees. I think he's pretty overrated because of his numbers, even though I think he's been solid. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say he's bad, but I think he's kind of overrated. They got a slew of receivers. They got some running backs out there. But someone's going to end up slowing them down and making them one-dimensional eventually. I don't know if they're up to the challenge yet. I mean, they might be, but nobody's really challenged them. The Giants weren't a challenge for them, so I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I think
I trust the Colts more.
Yeah, I think we'll see. Yeah, I agree with that. So that just about does it for this. So Jake, thanks for joining us here, man. It was fun. I hope you have a good night.
I thought you wanted to talk about the Dodgers.
No,
We already did that.
No.
I'm just kidding, man. All right,
dude. Well, you know, happy travels to you. Good luck to your San Francisco 49ers this weekend. I hope everything goes well.
All right, man. You have a good one, huh?
All right, you too. Well, that's Jacob Rosales here in the city on Locks of the Week.
If only he knew the whole time he was on the phone, I was looking up pictures of Shakira.
of all things! You know, that
Shakira.
Was...
Shakira. I didn't even hear a word he said the entire time.
AFC,
NFC, I'm on the little computer.
I can't get over how he was all over that NFC comment. It was like I was insulting his grandmother or something.
Wow. His favorite... I think he's an NFC guy.
Yeah. I'm an AFC guy because, you know, my team plays in the AFC. So I do like the NFC, but, you know, that's kind of the thing.
Shakira, look at these pictures.
Shakira is great. Now, let's put Shakira.
If anybody has some free time, just go online, type in Shakira's name, and look at photos. It's very entertaining.
When I was in junior college, I took a physics class at Ventura College, and just in the middle of the summer, it was in the middle of the quarters. I don't know why I was taking this class, but... there was a guy that I worked with in the lab, and he could go on and on and on about Shakira, and he was like, I can't believe how hot she is. I wish I could meet her. And you know what? The guy is right. Shakira is unbelievable.
Did you know she took a class at UCLA this summer?
Don't give me that.
I swear to God.
Seriously?
I swear to God. She took
a class at UCLA. Dancing class?
She was on campus, man. She was probably walked by your office a few times. Right out there in the hallway.
It's possible. Probably was over by Royce.
Well, this is kind of creepy now we're talking about.
That's kind of creepy. Yeah, we're getting into weird territory. So, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing about these undefeated teams that really finds it interesting. Do you ever see the undefeated team make the run to the Super Bowl? It's only happened once and I can remember in recent memory. It was the Patriots. Okay, turn the computer off.
Hold on,
okay,
I'm trying to figure out what class she took.
But while
it's
you
like
do
a
that,
Western civilization.
While you do that,
shouldn't be looking at this.
While you do that,
I'm
interested to know what you have to say about these undefeated teams, because I think there's a point to be made in the fact that you know, these teams, yeah, very few of them actually get through to the postseason.
What the heck?
Piece of spit ends up on my mic.
Dave just threw up on his microphone.
Anyway, yeah, don't you think? I mean, it's so rare when one of these dominant teams early ends up being a great team late. First half teams are very tricky that way.
I don't know. You're all about these undefeated teams. It's very hard for me to get excited about these undefeated teams at this point of the season. Because like I said, I hate NFL power rankings. I think it's stupid for us to sit down and talk about, oh, which team's better than this team, which team's better than that. You know, we're going to find out at the end of the year who's the best team. You know, there's going to be a team who's going to go to the Super Bowl. It's all going to be played out. It's not like college football. I think we all get in this college football mode of polls and what are this team's ranked. And we want to put that with the NFL. I don't care about NFL power rankings. I really don't.
Yeah.
You know, who the hell cares? All these teams are undefeated. They're all going to have a loss. I think Minnesota's probably going to lose this week.
Guaranteed.
Denver's bound to lose very soon.
Guaranteed.
The Colts will lose in 2 weeks when they play the 49ers.
Whoa. They could lose to the 49ers, but well, I'm not guaranteeing that.
It won't happen. But you know, I mean, these teams are going to lose at some point. You know, the Saints will lose at some point. They got to play Atlanta in a few weeks. And Atlanta, I think, is pretty good, you know. And who knows? I mean, we'll see. But like I said, the team that is usually what everybody thinks is the best team in football in the NFL in October, it's not usually the same case come January and particularly the beginning of February when we have the Super Bowl. It's usually not that way. I mean, last year, I don't think a lot of people – you know, had the Steelers as the best team in the NFL come first week of November or last week of October. I don't think that a lot of people – I mean, ultimately, yeah, it started to become obvious the Steelers were a very good football team, certainly towards the end of the year, and we knew that they were going to be there. But, you know, a lot of people talked up the Jets, the Titans. You know, it wasn't the Steelers, you know, last year. And then ultimately at the end, they were obviously the better team.
That's really amazing how that worked out. And, you know, another example, the Cardinals, obviously, last year. But that's last
year. And even the year before. I mean, the Patriots. Now, the Patriots were a great football team and probably the greatest team to ever, you know, play and not win a World Series. Or World Series.
Super Bowl.
Win a Super Bowl in a given year. But, you know, the Patriots were so dominant. They're the best team. Nobody's going to touch this team. And they go undefeated. And everybody thought, like, oh, they're going to get it. And they're a huge favorite. And the Giants beat them in the Super Bowl. You know, so.
You know, this brings up an interesting question. Well, again, I'm not gonna. Maybe this is not a good question to ask right now, but it's kind of like the halfway point of the season. That's why I bring this up.
Yeah, we got two more weeks, so we're halfway through.
All right. Well, then in that case, let's ask a different question. I was gonna ask who's gonna, you know, who of these 500 teams could make the run, but instead, I will ask who has impressed you the most, who's kind of surprised you, and who has disappointed you the most in the NFL so far.
Well. Who surprised me the most?
Yeah.
I think everybody would pick the Broncos. I thought the Broncos would be a mess. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were ugly in the preseason. Kyle Orton was throwing interceptions left and right in the preseason. I mean, this did not look like a very good football team. And to be sitting here, you know, after they beat the Chargers, who everybody thought was going to win the AFC West at San Diego. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they're going to be in the playoffs. You know, they got four more wins and they're in the playoffs. And they have, what, 10 more games to go? They could have a losing record the rest of the way. They're going to still make the playoffs. You know, I think Broncos certainly the most surprising team. You know, most disappointing team. Gosh, you know,
lots of choices.
Oh, yeah. But I think the Tennessee Titans, I mean, Jesus, best record in the NFL last year. And now they're 0-6. And not only 0-6, but they go to New England and lose 59-0. You know, I mean, they're not even competitive right now.
Yeah.
You know, they're not even competitive. And this is the team that lost, you know, when the season started this year, they only had two guys who were gone from last year's team in their starting lineups. They only Albert Haynesworth was one of them. They only had one other guy who was new to their starting lineup, you know? I mean, geez, what a fall for that team. It's been incredible. They just get worse and worse every week, you know? I think even the Raiders were laughing at them this weekend.
Quick interruption. The Yankees have now officially beaten the Angels 10-1. They doubled the score as we were doing the podcast. When we started, it was only 5-1. Ended it 10-1. If we had gone another hour, it probably would have been 20-1.
Yeah, that one's 3-1 now, both AL and NLCS, and well, this one's a given. I
this
think
this game, this is over.
The Angels,
this is over. The Angels gave it their best shot, and then they are done.
Yeah, I think the
major
difference. The Yankees are just a little too dominant right now. We'll see. The Angels maybe can pull one last game out at home, but they're definitely losing in New York.
No.
And then Phillies and Dodgers, you know, we'll see. I think Philly's got a great shot to wrap it up tomorrow. I think that the way the Dodgers lost was just humiliating and embarrassing and just, you know, crushing, you know. And Dave, can I get you to cry on the podcast?
All right, enough of that. Let me give me my takes for surprises and disappointments. You know, in a weird way, I might pick the Colts to be the most surprising team, but they're not, because I do feel like, you know, I guess I gave out a little bit of.
You do know that the Colts,
You know, they were in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, you do know that they've made the playoffs the last number of years, right?
Yeah, so that's part of it.
And there's this guy named Peyton Manning. He still plays for him.
And that's a big part of it too. Yeah. The team that surprises me the most so far this season. I'm not even surprised at the Vikings, because you know what? They already had a pretty good defense. Favre was going to get them a quick start. Unlike the Jets. The Saints are the most surprising team that I've seen so far this season. I did not realize they were this good. I did not have any idea their defense was going to perform this well so far. I was just shocked in the way they started off the season. It got me to a point where I felt that I was so confident in that Saints team that when they faced the Giants, I picked the Saints, and I was right. Most disappointing team, easy, Titans. And this is coming from a guy like me who, if I look at my previews, I believe I picked them to go, let me see if I got this right. I think I picked them to go something like 6-10, or maybe 9-7. I never thought they were going to be very good this season. But this, 0-5, 0-6, nobody could have predicted that. And, I mean, you're right, a lot of the players are the same. I mean, Jeff Fisher might end up getting fired at the end of the year. That's sad, because Fisher's a good coach, and he's been through a lot. And if he blows, I mean, this is the worst season I think I can remember in the entire franchise history, going back to going back to Houston. This is easily a disappointment. Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, geez, gosh. Like I said, it's not that they're, you know, you could be a losing football team and still be competitive. They're a losing football team that has ceased to become competitive. I mean, geez, the 59-0.
Says it all.
I mean, how do you do in the NFL? You shouldn't lose 59. You should not do that. The discrepancy between the good teams and even the worst teams isn't that bad. I mean, even the Rams have had some decently close games this year, and that team's a mess.
Yeah.
You know, but 59-0. Yikes.
Oh, I know. I know. It's just insane. I can't get over that. So that pretty much wraps it up. Thanks for joining me, Andrew. It's a pleasure.
No problem, Dave. Always a pleasure to be here. It's been a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been sick as a dog recently. I think I had the swine flu, but anyways.
All right, well, thank you guys for listening. All thanks to Jake Rosales, too, for joining in. That's it for the city. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time.